worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 17. You must not murder. Then looking in 2 Timothy chapter 3, picking up at verse 1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Johnnies and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Johnnies and Jambres. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught to know. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. All of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you once again, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is a guide, an accurate guide. It counsels us, directs us. It helps us to discern what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you. But also, it's the sword of the Spirit, the most powerful weapon in the universe. More and more, teach our hands to war, Lord. Help us to war with wisdom, grace, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, knowing how to step out on the battlefield of life every day and walk in victory, because we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for loving us with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for loving us first. Thank you so much for loving us while we were rebelling against you, while we were sinners. And Father, thank you so much that from this position of confidence, of knowing that you've given us grace and mercy, that you've made available to us life everlasting, from there, we can confidently pursue growing in righteousness. Thank you so much, Father, that it's not a fear game of us just being afraid of failure, but thank you so much that you've given us the confidence to approach your throne room and to pursue your will and your ways out of love. Thank you so much, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Again, we do appreciate you being a part of our listening family, and we very much desire your prayers. We ask that you please take time to pray daily for the ministry of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. The reality is, individually, as married couples, as families, as local churches, as ministries out there, individuals out in the world, we all face spiritual warfare. And God made us to where we really do need each other. We need each other's prayers, each other's encouragement and edification. And may we be about our Father's business of loving each other and encouraging one another in the Lord each and every day. We're going to take a few moments now to listen to a poem that was sent in by a listener. And basically, it describes one of the tragedies that's going on in our culture today. You may hear in the news about something called the Born Alive Act. Well, the reality is there are places in this nation where it's sadly legal and it's been done, where a baby that the goal was to abort, and somehow or another the baby survived the abortion, but those persons involved in doing the abortion, instead of killing the child, they simply set the child aside and allow the child to slowly pass away without giving it any care. What a tragic thing to consider. But the sad reality is, in spite of what people may say, there are states and places in our nation where this is allowed to happen. We're going to take a moment now to listen to a poem, again sent in by a listener, that depicts this tragedy as it takes place.
Uncaressed, unloved, unblessed, untouched, and uncaressed by humanity, you were left to die all alone with your whimpering cry. You were abandoned before you were even born. But with God's help, when in your mother's womb, you were not scalded, you were not dismembered, and your body was not torn. So consequently, you were born. But sadly, hours later, you died after you whimpered, after you cried, while no good Samaritan came to your side. Little abandoned baby, your subsequent death is such a shame. Someone would have adopted you and given you their family name. Someone would have loved you, O little child of God. But they hid you in a secret, forgotten, inhospitable place and left you there all alone, without a kind touch or soft ministering embrace to welcome you to your earthly home. Every wee human child is innocent of any crime and is entitled to his or her right to life at that birthing time, and the right to be cared for, and the right of visibility so the world may see the undeniable truth of a particular child's humanity. Such children must be protected from murderers who stalk the halls of the killing places, currently called hospitals. In such hospitals, no hospitality remains at all. In some states, babies who could grow and thrive never make it out of the hospital alive and are labeled unwanted, though they could have been adopted. Stay out of hospitals if you can. Some hospitals condone the hardening of hearts and the honing of killing skills. Their methodology has become more and more evil and deranged since the Hippocratic Oath of the past has drastically been changed. Consequently, some so-called healers now feel they are granted the license to mercy kill. All disabled people, the elderly, the mentally ill should beware. They'll get you gone when you are down and sad, even though you've been making progress and are feeling better instead of bad. They'll offer you the choice to die and assist you with your suicide if you comply, then profit from your body parts. But those who would disenfranchise weak or sick people of life-sustaining and efficacious care might someday realize that God never granted them the right to act as the arbiters of life. Be assured, only God is the final arbiter, and the little ones and all the others who seemed so unblessed will be close to God and in his hands. As for the rest of us, some might have to stand and answer why we distance ourselves from human tragedies as the hospitals profited from murdered babies and their baby body parts, too, and adult body parts also. In contrast, the biblical Good Samaritan did his best to assure the health of a stranger along the road. We also are invited to carry our load as we do our best to keep unknown strangers from suffering inhospitable dangers. And in addition, we can spread the word that because of all the inflicted misery, the term hospital now seems sadly absurd.
The title of that poem was Uncaressed, a poem by Miss Kathy Sanders. She graciously sent it in and also recorded it for us so that we could share the poem. Again, a very heartfelt poem that addresses one of the many tragedies around the reality of abortion in our culture. Keep this in mind. God's word clearly tells us, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. It's important to know that abortion is always against the will of God, and it's important that we never seek to support that in any way, because remember, God's word really is the bottom line. So again, thanks to Sister Kathy Sanders for sending in that poem and sharing it in audio form. We are very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. We've had him before, but it's been a little while. We're grateful to have him back again. Pastor Culbreth, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pastor Parker. Thank you for having me.
Always an honor to have you come on. And if you would take time now to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners about the Douglas Leadership Institute. I imagine many of our listeners have heard of or know of the Douglas Leadership Institute, but there's some who maybe have never heard that title or name before. Would you tell them about the ministry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Douglas Leadership Institute is named after the great former slave and abolitionist and statesman, Frederick Douglass. It is a national education and public policy 501c3 organization with representatives and groups across the United States. We're headquartered in Maryland, but I reside in Cincinnati, Ohio. Our philosophy is based on the sanctity of human life, the promotion of free market principles, and limited government. And we exist to educate, equip, and empower faith-based leaders to embrace and apply biblical principles to life and in the marketplace. So we work with a lot of pastors. We work with a lot of faith leaders and people in general concerning strengthening the family, criminal justice reform, economic opportunity, and school choice are the four primary areas that that we work in.
Okay. And where is the headquarters for the Douglas Leadership Institute?
The headquarters is in Greenbelt, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, again, thank you for coming on with us and sharing. And also, the specific project that you helped to head up that addresses the life issue. Would you tell our listeners about that?
Sure, sure. We have a project called the Jeremiah 1 and 5 Project. And of course, in Jeremiah 1 and 5, God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says,
Pastor Culbreth, I'm going to have to jump in right here, and we'll pick up right there on the other side as we come into a break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Pastor Arnold Culbreth of the Douglas Leadership Institute. We'll be right back.
Children are dying. Our families sake. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Fred Hammond with If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. Pastor Culbreth, if you'll pick up right there where you left off before we went into the break there.
Absolutely. We were talking about the Douglas Leadership Institute's Jeremiah 1 and 5 project. And Jeremiah 1 and 5 in the New Living Translation reads like this. It's God speaking to Jeremiah. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And if we just take a moment and consider that verse, there are some key things that jump out at us. We observe the purview of God. He sees all and he knows all, even from the womb. We also see personhood there. He acknowledges Jeremiah as a person, as opposed to a mere clump of cells or a product of conception, as the abortion industry would try to have us to believe. And then lastly, in that verse, we also see purpose, where God assigns purpose even from the womb. He had appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, even in utero. And God does the same thing for us. He has special purpose and destiny upon our lives. However large or small we might perceive that to be, it's important to God and to the plans and purposes of God.
Okay. Well, would you take a moment now specifically to pray, Pastor Culbreth, for listeners that they would really respond to what the Holy Spirit may say to them through the broadcast today? There are those who, in just a few minutes when you share about the upcoming conference, there may be those that the Lord is calling them to attend the conference or get involved or plug into it in some way. Others who the Lord may be calling them to do something similar to projects that the Frederick Douglass Institute is doing. Maybe they're being called by the Lord to do something similar in their own communities, but each person really needs to be listening to the Lord for themselves. So would you pray for them to receive what the Lord wants them to receive through the broadcast today?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be able to discuss this very important issue, O God, something very near and dear to your heart. You are the creator of life, and Jesus said that he came that we might have life and to have it more abundantly in John chapter 10, verse 10. Father, we thank you for the gift of life, both natural life and spiritual life. Father, we lift up this broadcast. We lift up the individuals that would be listening in real time or by rebroadcast, O God, that our hearts would be touched, that our minds would be opened, that we would always move in a direction that's well-pleasing to you, and that's a direction that affirms life. Father, I pray for comfort for those that have been personally impacted by abortion in any way, shape, or form. Father, will you help them to realize that your word declares in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess with our mouth, if we confess our sin, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that includes the sin of abortion. So, Father, help that post-abortive man, that post-abortive woman, to receive your forgiveness, to be comforted and strengthened by it, and to then turn around and become voices for the voiceless that still need an advocate in the womb. God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Colbreth. Pastor Colbreth, just a question I want to ask. If someone was to say to you, Pastor Colbreth, I've heard pastors and spiritual leaders on both sides of the life issue. Some seem to think that abortion is wrong, and some seem to think that it's okay if that's what a woman wants to do. Which is right? How would you respond to that question?
That's a great question. Let's touch on a couple of points here. You opened the broadcast with Deuteronomy 5:17, where God is commanding that we not kill or we not murder in the Ten Commandments. And of course, it's cited throughout the Bible. The abortion is the murder of a baby in the womb. I mean, let's call it what it is. Right. We've used the word, really a euphemistic word, which basically detaches you from the atrocity of what the word really embodies. That's what abortion is. So when we use the word abortion now, oftentimes people think more about choice than they think about a child. Mm-hmm. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, God is speaking through Moses to his people, and he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. So as we focus so much today on choice, God is telling us to choose life so that we and our children might live.
Mm-hmm.
Another atrocity in the midst of all of this, and there are many, is that abortion disproportionately impacts the Black community far above any other community. According to the 2020 census, the America's Black population measured at 13.9%, but we accounted for 41.5% of the abortions. And again, this statement isn't to demonize Black women who have had abortions. I'm just helping us to realize the significance of the impact of abortion in the Black community. 13.9% of the population of the U.S., but 41% of the abortions. And what that equates to, since 1973, when abortion was legalized, we have killed more Black babies by abortion than the entire Black population of 1960.
Those are some sobering things to really consider, Pastor Colbreth. I appreciate you sharing those. And these are issues that we as the church need to face and give serious prayer and thought to. And the reality is there's such a need for the leadership of God's people to be grounded in the Word of God, to begin and end what they do in the Word. Would you pray for pastors and leaders to be committed to God's Word in the way they do the job they've been called to do?
Absolutely. Father, we lift up pastors, and as pastors, Pastor Joseph and I realize that it's not an easy job. There are a lot of demands, there are a lot of pressures, a lot of expectations, a lot of ridicule and criticism on pastors and leaders. So, Father, I lift up pastors and leaders before you right now in the name of Jesus, that you would encourage them, and that you would comfort them, and you would embolden them, oh God, that they would speak the truth to those that sit in their pews, Father, as we remain laser focused on this topic of abortion. Oh God, we know that Planned Parenthood indicates that one out of every three women by age 45 will have had at least one abortion. That's a lot of women. And of course, there are men involved in every one of those pregnancies, Father. So men are impacted by abortion, both men that pushed a woman toward the abortion or men that pushed and encouraged a woman not to have the abortion, but didn't have a legal footing to stand on. So Father, many of those post-abortive men and women are sitting and silently suffering in our church pews. Father, would you help remove the veil of denial and fear and misinformation from the hearts and minds of the pastors that feel as though they'll re-traumatize women if they talk about this issue from the pulpit, Father. Many of the women, Father, we've talked to around the nation, Father, are encouraged and comforted when they hear that the blood of Jesus covers and forgives from all sin, including the sin of abortion. They realize, Father God, that there's help and there's hope for them, Father God, and that they too can be part of the solution by being voices and advocates for life, Father, even if they've had an abortion or more themselves. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would stir the hearts, stir the minds of pastors, Father. Help them to connect with organizations and ministries like the Douglas Leadership Institute, where there's an army of pastors that are standing and speaking for life. God, we lift this up before you, and we lift it up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. Pour out your spirit of mercy and grace upon the church in a fresh and new way, and help us in ways in which we really need to rediscover and recommit to your word, just like in the days of King Josiah. Help us to rediscover your word and recommit to being guided by your word as opposed to ignoring it or dancing around it. Help us to know, Lord, that we're to begin and end everything we do with your word. Help us to be a church that does just that consistently and faithfully. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Gobus, tell us about the Our Faith, Our Family, and Our Freedom Conference coming up.
Yes. Yes, sir. The Douglas Leadership Institute has an annual regional conference. This year it will be in Atlanta, Georgia, October 24th through the 26th, and I personally invite anybody who's listening to join us there. You can find out more information on our website at dlinstitute.org. Again, that's DL for Douglas Leadership, dlinstitute.org, and all of the information and the pricing is there. Our goal is 300 to 400 people in attendance. The last several years, it's been a powerful time, and I strongly encourage pastors and leaders to continue to consider attending and participating with us, because what you'll meet is an army of men and women of like faith that are standing strong and speaking loudly on this issue, because one of the things I found that the devil tries to do when you begin addressing issues like abortion, to cause you to feel like you're alone because of some of the vitriol and the pushback that you get both in the natural and in the spirit. And you'll begin to realize, wow, there are many other folks out there that believe the same way that I can align with and be encouraged by. So I want to encourage people, check out our website, dlinstitute.org, and we would love to have you at our conference.
All right. Well, if someone listening is wondering, well, how would attending this kind of conference impact me? How could it benefit and encourage me? How would you respond to that?
Well, we've got different tracks. We've got tracks from pro-life, We've got tracks that will focus on government. We've got workshops on criminal justice reform. We've got workshops on the church and its involvement. We've even got a youth track because we're heavily focused on raising up the next generation. And we have a pitch competition for young people. I believe the ages are 17 to 24. And if they have a business idea or a ministry idea that they're, you know, a lot of these young people are very entrepreneurial, and there are prizes for the pitch competition. I believe first place is $5,000. Second place is, I think, $2,500. And third place is $1,000, something to that effect. I hope I'm not just totally botching those prize amounts. But all of that information can be found at our website. So really endeavoring to equip and empower and resource people of all ages to stand up and speak out for life. And okay. Not just life, but the betterment of our communities. Amen. To the glory of God.
Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Pastor Arnold Culbreth of the Douglas Leadership Institute. We'll be right back. Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. And so, Pastor Culbreth, you had some things on your heart you wanted to share about just where we find ourselves as a nation and a culture right now.
Yes, we've got very important election coming up in November. And, you know, one of the things that I find disheartening is the fact that too many people, and it bleeds into the church as well, too many people seem to have lost the ability to have civil discourse around the issues, around the candidates, around politics in general. And the Bible admonishes the believer to be balanced relative to truth and grace. So we've got to speak the truth to one another in conversations, but there also needs to be some grace there as well. What if a person's views is just diametrically opposed to our own? How do we act? How do we respond? We need to be acting and responding in ways that exemplify Christ. So I'm certainly not going to try to tell people who they should vote for, but I do want to challenge our listeners to educate ourselves about the politicians' positions and to vote for candidates that stand for life, Don't just vote based on skin color. Don't just vote based on party. And don't just focus on the national elections either. We've got to focus on the local elections. There's a lot that happens at the local level, particularly with these pro-abortion constitutional amendments that are at play at every state level. Sad to say, in my state of Ohio, you know, we had the same election, and that amendment failed, you know, or should I say it passed, you know. So there's legalized abortion through all 9 months in our state. And Planned Parenthood has been unapologetic about the fact that they're pushing to do this all the way across the nation. So I want to just take a moment and pray about the upcoming elections and just this election season in general.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being able to vote. Father, there was a time in our nation when blacks couldn't vote, when women couldn't vote, Father, and many have picketed and marched and prayed and even died so that we could have the privilege and the honor of being able to vote. Father, help us to not just cast that vote to the wind, oh God, by being illiterate about the issues. Help us to be educated about the issues beyond the rhetoric that the politicians talk about, beyond color of skin or political party. Father, what does your word say regarding the various issues and how we ought to stand concerning them? Father, I pray particularly for the body of Christ in this election season, Father, with the barrage of commercials and messaging and flyers that come to our homes, and even texts and news that comes to our devices, our phones, our tablets, our computers. Father, help us to be full of your Spirit, to be filled with wisdom and filled with grace, and engage in the discourse of our day in ways that glorifies and honors you, Father God, so that you are pleased. Father, we thank you for this broadcast. Again, I pray for those men and women that have been personally impacted by abortion, Father God. Will you comfort them? Will you encourage them? Will you raise them up, Father God, to be mighty voices for life, Father, in their families, in their communities, in their spheres of influence, in their church, Father? Perhaps they will be that vessel that encourages and challenges their pastor and spiritual leaders to stand and to speak out for life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, to thank you for the opportunity you give every one of us to be witnesses and be ambassadors for your kingdom, those who can speak life and light into our culture, those who can represent you by speaking the truth in love, the truth that can set people free, and the truth that is what people really, really need to hear. Lord, help us to courageously and boldly be the witnesses you'd have us to be, knowing, Lord, that there are many in bondage in darkness, and people who are making wrong, sad and tragic decisions because there's strongholds and all sorts of things that are pointing them in the wrong directions. Stir us as the church to rise up and be the loud, bold witness you would have us to be, who know how to speak the truth in love in such a way where people can hear the truth and will respond to it as well. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to a very critically important task. Help us to be about your business and representing you well and effectively everywhere we go. We thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Goldberg, are there other issues that you wanted to touch on as well related to the culture and the election as well?
I would just like to, again, invite our listeners to visit our website at dlinstitute.org. If you'd sign up for our mailing list at info@dlinstitute.org, you can be put on our mailing list and stay up to date with various things we're doing, events we may be doing in your city or state. And we'd love to partner with you and to have further dialogue to impact the culture for Christ.
Well, if an individual or possibly a pastor or someone else in leadership in a local church is interested in doing just that, if they're thinking, you know, I would like to find out ways that I could work with or connect to and get engaged with the work that the Douglas Leadership Institute is doing, how would they go about really getting involved and becoming like sort of a partner in some of the projects the Douglas Leadership Institute is carrying out?
Sure. I would encourage them to contact us at info@dlinstitute.org, and they'll be connected with our team. And what we'd like to do, as opposed to just giving them a litany of things that they can do in conjunction with us, we like to build relationship. We work hard on relationships, and we want to hear what kinds of things those pastors and leaders are doing in their cities and states, and then explore together ways that we can collaborate, where we can bring our strength and resources and network alongside their strengths and resources and network, and be a stronger force together. So as opposed to just saying, here's a list of things you can do, I could do that. But what I found to be most fruitful is when we dovetail our efforts together. So reach out to us. We'd love to build relationship with you and have some dialogue and prayer and see what the Lord is saying for such a time as this.
Well, no, would it be accurate to say then you have people just kind of across the board with many denominations, or is it a relatively smaller kind of group of people that are connecting with you?
Oh, no, it's a very large network across denominations. The denominational walls aren't our, aren't barriers for us. We do want to partner and collaborate where we can from a biblical perspective.
Mm. Well, and, you know, I would mention that I thought it was very encouraging to learn about the ways that the Douglas Leadership Institute had partnered specifically with the Church of God in Christ and the wonderful document that denominational family produced that spoke about standing for life and against abortion. That was very encouraging to me to learn about that. Do you recall the name of that document? I don't remember the name of it right offhand, but do you happen to know the name of that document?
Well, it's a pro-life resolution. Is basically what it is. Mm-hmm. And we worked with the Church of God in Christ to pass that pro-life resolution. And if a listener is interested in seeing and perhaps downloading a copy of that resolution, they can find that on our website at dlinstitute.org/Jeremiah, because that's our Jeremiah 1 and 5 webpage. You can find out all about that project, the vision of the project. You'll see that resolution and some other helpful tools there. But that's a pivotal kind of a document, and now we're working with the Church of God in Christ to really get at the grassroots level and really train, equip, and resource their pastors and leaders across the nation to stand for life.
All right. Well, one more time, if someone is interested in learning more about the conference or would like to get in touch, tell them again the website to find out more about the Our Faith, Our Family, and Our Freedom conference.
Absolutely. Everything is housed at our website at D as in Douglas, L as in leadership, dlinstitute.org. And you'll find our Jeremiah 1 and 5 project there that I spoke about. You'll find a conference tab there, and you can click on that. And we've worked hard to make it very affordable. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, October the 24th through the 26th. And we would love to have the listening audience to participate, whether it is one day or whether it's the entire conference. We've got some one-day opportunities and costing that's listed there. And it's going to be a great, great time.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Colbert, for being with us today. We appreciate that very, very much. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, remember, the single most important decision of your life is the decision to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us even now and commit your heart and life to Jesus Christ and be saved? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and mature in your newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. We definitely want to be in touch with you. Please get in touch. Again, the email joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you again, joseph@afr.net. Again, Pastor Colbert, thank you so much for being with us. One more time, the name of the conference and the website to get more information about it.
Yes, sir. The conference is Our Faith, Our Family, Our Freedom, and it's October the 24th through the 26th in Atlanta, Georgia. They can find that information at dlinstitute.org.
Thanks so much. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.